Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is John Batchelor, and this is the History Debate Society. I welcome my colleagues, members of the History Debate Society, to contribute what they've learned about history and about what that means of where we're going. We have these random events happening all over the world all the time. There is the wit that history is one darn thing after another. Well, we're going to try to put some of them together, and we go immediately to a chartered member of the History Debate Society. This is Michael Yon. You can find Michael's postings at locals.com. And the history we're debating right now is the history of the Great Migration, ongoing, all over the world. Michael is in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania, on the Russian Federation frontier, very close to it. This is the Baltic states that were profoundly threatened in the 20th century, so much so they spent most of the 20th century under the boot of the Soviet Union. When that disappeared, the Baltic states were liberated, were freed. But now, here in the early 21st century, the Soviets are gone, but the Russians still sit there staring across the frontier through their client state, Belarus, or through their own, from their own country, the Baltic states. On one side of Michael is Belarus. On the other side of Michael is the Russian enclave Kaliningrad. Both are heavily armed camps. However, Michael is educating us on what is happening that doesn't carry a modern weapon. These are the migrants in the Great Migration. And when we last left Michael in Vilnius, he was going to learn more about the report that he gave us a week past, that the Belarusians, at the direction of the dictator Lukashenko, are bringing in migrants from Iraq, from Baghdad, and migrants must be arriving from West Africa, East Africa, all over Eurasia, and then transporting them to the border with Lithuania, which is not guarded in any fashion that I understand. It's a series of farmers' fields, and pushing them into Lithuania, where they wander until they're met by Lithuanian Border Patrol or Lithuanian authorities and deposited in a camp for them, which Michael describes, having visited, as extremely well appointed. But then what? These are people from Iraq, from Kurdistan, from Africa, from all parts of Asia. What is to happen to them now they're in Lithuania, which is the European Union? Belarus is not the European Union. Lithuania is. Michael, a very good evening to you in Vilnius. You've had a week now looking around capital city Vilnius and talking to migrants who are no longer in that camp. You said last week you could just leave it. You're not held in any fashion. What have you learned about the migrants you're meeting, and what are they doing to feed themselves in Vilnius? Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening from Vilnius. I'm only a couple blocks away from the KGB Museum, and certainly the memory is strong in people's mind here of what happened between, you know, the Nazis and the communists. It's very strong. And it's not as if Vilnius is overrun with migrants. That would be an untrue characterization if I were to say that. What is more true is that I see a migrant, or somebody that I think is probably a migrant, maybe every 10 or 15 minutes now when I'm downtown. You know, like tonight, it should be pretty crowded. The sun is still up, of course. So I'll go down there tonight and try to find some migrants to talk with. I talked with a Pakistani the other day, and Pakistani, you know, he actually seemed like he was kind of lonely here. Not a lot of Pakistanis here. He wants to get over to the UK, or if not the UK, to the United States, because, you know, he just doesn't feel as welcome here because there's not a Pakistani enclave, right? And that's something that the Lithuanians are very keen to avoid. They don't want to have ghettoization here. They don't want to have the polarization that can come with that. They realize that there's, you know, again, some fish don't mix well in the same aquarium, and the population in Lithuania is quite small. So it's not as if they can, you know, take in 10,000 people without being noticed. That would be a remarkable change in Vilnius, actually. And so, they're quite concerned about getting overrun with migrants, especially as they're being pushed in through Belarus and the Russians.
What are the migrants doing to take care of themselves in Vilnius? Are they occupied?
Some are driving Bolt cars. Bolt is sort of it's like an Uber, and so Bolt is their local Uber. Uber doesn't seem to work here, but Bolt also delivers food. So you'll have them, on bicycles and those little scooters all over the place. And so I see some Africans doing that, and some Middle Easterners, and others that I've talked with are Lithuanians. So that's one of the things they're doing, as jobs like that that don't require, you know, great language skills. But again, it's not as if they're overrun with migrants at this point, but it is becoming a concern for the locals, because they have been overrun here. And one thing that's important to keep in mind about the Lithuanians is that they have faced annihilation time and time again, whether it's from the Nazis or the communists. And so I'm holding a book in my hand called We Could Not But Resist Genocide. It's about the resistance. I mean, their whole national personality is based on resistance. So they want to keep themselves Lithuanians. And so that's a big concern for them here in the Vilnius.
They know Lukashenko is doing this to provoke them. You reported last week that you were in a camp. You visited a camp, and there were about 250 people in the camp. You described it as a well-appointed place, similar to what you saw as a backpacker in your youth. But you're also reporting that the Lithuanian Border Patrol says there are about 150 people a day being pushed into Lithuania. So that doesn't add up. There are 250 people in the camp and 150 a day. Where are they?
They're leaking out somewhere. We asked one of the ladies that runs the camp, where are they? And she said, well, you're free to come and go. I mean, it's like a movie theater. I mean, once they are brought into the camp, it's right beside an army base. We saw armored vehicles going by while we were at the camp. But you're free to just leave. I mean, you can call a Bolt car if you want and just drive away. You can. And since Lithuania is part of the European Union, once you're in the European Union, that's like being in the United States. Once you get to Maine, you're as good as being in Arizona or vice versa. I mean, there's no internal borders within the EU. So once you get here, once you get over that Belarus-Lithuanian border, that's it. You're free. You know,
They could be in Paris by now for what we know, because they
easily
can just keep going.
Easily.
And there's not the same problem in Vilnius there was in Panama to find money. Remember that arduous way they found money in the Triple Canopy jungle with that, what was it, a Western Union shop in the first village they came to. So you can find money, and everybody's spending euros, so you get euros, and then you keep going. You met one Pakistani who wants to go to London, which is no longer so easy because UK is no longer part of the EU. There is a border there. It would be difficult for him. Did you speak to any Africans? What is their ambition? Where do they want to go?
Africans in the camp, they want to get over, generally over to places like Germany and Sweden. Because Lithuania is not throwing the corn out. You know, in the human osmotic pressure, there's the push and there's the pull. The push is for those who are actually leaving wars. And out of the many migrants that we see in, whether it's Morocco or Greece or here in Lithuania or down in Panama or Colombia, Mexico, the vast majority are economic migrants,
right,
by far.
Right.
There's only a few are really being pushed out. Go ahead.
Let's go to the Kurdistan. You met some Kurds when you were in the camps. Did you speak to any Kurds this week? Where are they going? What I'm getting, Michael, is that everybody has an understanding of where their people are. Remember, we talked about the Haitians having a very clear understanding that there was a Haitian diaspora in California and a Haitian diaspora on the East Coast, maybe in Jersey. So they had an ambition to go there because they knew somebody. Where do the Kurds go? Is there a Kurd gathering anywhere that they mentioned?
Oh, definitely. For instance, Germany and up in some of the Nordic states, and also in UK, in London specifically, also over in Tennessee in the United States. But many of the Kurdish that I've met when I've been in Kurdistan, for instance, or even in Thailand, Kurds that I've seen there, many of them speak German. So believe it or not, many of the Kurds that I've spoken with up in, I don't speak Kurdish and I don't speak Arabic, but when I was in Iraq in the Kurdish region, I was often speaking German to Kurds, as in Thailand. Kurds that I know in Thailand, some actually speak German. So there's a big German community here, which comes back from, when was that, the early 90s or so? Our special forces called it the Herd the Kurds, 10th Special Forces Group, my former group. We're down in Turkey in the Kurdish region, helping them, you know, not freeze to death and feeding them, giving medical help. And so they called it Herd the Kurds. You know, our people, U.S. Special Forces and Kurds tend to get along very well and very friendly and great relations. So it's easy for me when I walk up to Kurds and they know you're an American. Usually they're very open with you.
So what we're seeing here is that Vilnius turns out to be an entryway to the whole of the EU. And Lukashenko knows this. He's pushing people into the EU. So it's not just to spite Lithuania, it's to spite NATO. Is that how to interpret this?
Exactly. I mean, he's very clear about it. You can look online and see some of the things that he said. He's very angry. You know, and the EU in general and Lithuania are all angry that he hijacked that airplane with the bomb scare recently and sent the MiG up in the air and forced it to land in Minsk in Belarus and arrested the journalist, right? I mean, I think you may have seen that, and I'm sure you saw it. You keep up on these things.
Of course.
And, yeah, for those who missed it, that really upset a lot of people, as you can imagine. I mean, Belarus literally hijacked an airplane with a fake bomb threat and sent the MiG up and arrested somebody that was flying to Vilnius. So, I mean, these sorts of things are not what civilized countries do.
You've been on a lengthy journey, Michael, from Hong Kong to the United States during the worst of the turmoil in the election of 2016, and then moving on to South America. You were in Colombia, traveling into Panama. Your contacts in Panama are still awaiting your return. Do you have a report, because you're headed back to Panama eventually, do you have a report about the migration through Panama, especially now that we have not only upset in Haiti, profound upset, so much so that the U.S. is refusing to get involved by sending military personnel, as we've done in the past, but all Cuba is rocked by protests and by the brutal retaliation by the Cuban regime. Both those countries were contributing greatly to the migrants that were coming through the Darien Gap. Do you have reports about the migrant flow there? Is it increasing? Is it the same? Do you know?
In fact, I've been communicating all day today with, when I'm not in the meeting here with the Lithuanian Special Forces, I've been communicating with people in Panama. For instance, I'm going to take a member of the Panamanian government out into the Darien Gap here in early February. And so we will, in fact, she's the head of what's called CENAF, which is the head of Child Protective Services for Panama. So we're going to go down into the Darien together. I'm going to show her things that we found. She was appointed by the Panamanian president, actually. And so, yeah, I'm going straight back there, straight into the middle of it. We're going straight back to Bajo Chiquito, which is, you know, I've reported from there before. And we're going to see how many Cubans are there this time. And I'm going to spend a lot of time talking with Haitians and Cubans because, as you know, that's where they filter into, the survivors that make it through the Darien Gap.
The puzzle here, Michael, is we didn't know that we picked up on turmoil in Cuba and Haiti before it happened. Remember how we often debated, why are there so many Cubans and Haitians? Why did they dominate? In fact, I think you told me the Haitians were more than half of the migrants coming through, 10,000 a month. Now we know why. They were coming from countries they were anticipating trouble, and they knew that it was time to get to the U.S.
That's right, John. I mean, we were picking up on that signal, why so many Cubans and why so many Haitians coming through. And they're going through, specifically, a lot of them are going through Suriname first And then from Suriname, of course, you know, Suriname is that little former Dutch colony in the north part of South America. Most people don't know exactly where it's at, but and that's where they'll go to because they don't need a visa. So right now I anticipate there's probably tons of Cubans and Haitians in Suriname, but they'll be making their way up to, you know, through Brazil and or Ecuador, and they'll get through Colombia up to Panama, right. And Panama is where I'm going to intercept them in a few weeks and ask them what's going on.
Michael, it's a fair guess that some of the immigrants that you've seen in the, whom you've seen in the camp or wandering around Vilnius, they're headed to Panama. It's a fair guess, Michael. You know how long it can take to get to the U.S. You've met some people that have been at this for years. So from Vilnius to the Darien Gap is a couple of plane rides and maybe a long bus ride.
Oh, they'd be in for a surprise if they left this place and went to the Darien Gap. But I'll tell you what, interestingly, John, some of the people that are coming here are coming from Venezuela. So I said, Venezuela, why are they coming to over the, this border to from Venezuela? And the answer is because some of those are from Lithuanian descent. And Lithuania, like as with Poland and Germany and Israel, will take people of their ethnic descent that, you know, if they can prove that they have that descent, they're welcome right back to the country and get citizenship and the whole works.
One of the fun things about debating history is that you're never sure what anything means. You think you've connected the dots, and then you get a new piece of information that doesn't work, and so you have to start all over.
Exactly.
This is the History Debate Society. Speaking of what Michael's discovered in Vilnius with the migrants, we're going to do one more episode, however. Michael's had conversations, you just heard him, about the security situation in Lithuania and throughout the Baltic states facing the Russian Federation, the aggression of the Russian Federation. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.